For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, the Bema seat, the place of rewards. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, and welcome to Love Never Fails. We're currently airing Pastor Bill's study from the New Testament epistle of 2 Timothy. In Pastor's teaching today, the Apostle Paul instructs Timothy to preach the word, not to entertain or placate, but to herald God's truth. Now, Pastor Bill, with today's message, Paul's Last Charge.
Now we find ourselves with this sermon, probably just one more sermon in this great epistle, penned by Paul in Rome from the Mamertine prison, which is his last earthly residence. This morning, we're going to look at Paul's final charge or his commands to Timothy in these five verses. It's very important as we do so. I want you to see something in these five verses. Number one, I want you to see when you look at Timothy and hear the commands from Paul to him, I want you to visualize and get a picture of what an end times pastor is supposed to be. And we are living in the end times. Amen? Now, also, you're going to see what the church is going to be like in the last days, and it's going to be an apostate church with professing believers, not true believers. So we're going to move in and see that, and we want to be like Timothy, but we don't want to be like the apostate church, amen? So it's important that we grasp this morning and take a deep look at it, because on these commands to Timothy, his true son of his faith, before us, I believe with all of my heart, is a today word for the 21st century church, but more or less a today word for this church. Amen? I want to ask you a question, a very important question. Do you want to be a part of what you consider to be a successful church, or do you want to be part of a church, loved one, that pursues the spirit of excellence? It's a very important question. You know, for all the years, 30 years here, over 30 years, that I have been with you, loved one, listen to me, I have always said it's a spirit of excellence. Everything that we do for the Lord. Amen? If you operate in a spirit of excellence for the Lord, you are a success in the eyes of God. Amen? Now, the reason I said that, let me just give you a quote here from author John Johnstone in his book, Christian Excellence. He says this, success seeks to please men. Excellence seeks to please God. We have five verses this morning addressed to Timothy, to every pastor, to every believer in every generation. These verses, if there's ever been a time for the church to embrace these scriptures, it is right now, today, that we live in. Let's begin this morning and look at Paul's last charge. He says in verse 1, I charge you therefore before God, or literally before God, or in the sight of our God, and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living, who will judge the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Question, how serious is this charge from Paul to Timothy? It's very serious. Listen, Paul's in prison. He's on death row. He knows that he's going to be executed. He knows that Nero is going to have him murdered, killed, beheaded, and so forth. He's not worried about his life, but he is concerned about Timothy. And he's also, we could bring it up, and God is concerned about how we react to what we learn today. Amen? And so as we look at this here, this is very serious because look what Paul does. Writing from a dungeon, he says, Timothy, I call before you right now, God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. They are witnesses of the things I'm about to share with you. Did you know that Timothy and every believer, do you know that we labor and we serve our Lord in his sight? Amen? Is Jesus with us? Of course he is. Does he know all things, see all things? Absolutely. He knows our every thought this very moment. He knows what you're going to do when you leave here today. He knows everything about us. And thank God he loves us. Amen. And he died for us. But so everything that we do when we labor for God, we labor in his presence under his watchful eye. He sees everything we do. And every pastor or every teacher, every Sunday school teacher, anybody who shares God's word, especially a pastor, when he steps into this pulpit, he better realize in his heart that God sees his steps and what he's about to do. Amen? That's very important. Job put it this way. Job said in Job 34:21, "For God's eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees all his steps." Paul just said, "I'm calling God as our witness. I'm calling Jesus as our witness, because Jesus is the judge." Did you know that? All judgment has been committed to him by the Father. Jesus is the judge, it says, who will judge the living and the dead. If Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead, would you think that might include everybody?
Yes.
Yeah, that's everyone, isn't it? That means this: not only is Jesus the judge of all, he is the Lord of all. And one day, no matter what man does, no matter what governments do, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And let me say, it's better to do that now than then. That's right. So he is the judge. And when it says the judge of the living, here Paul is talking about, because he knows he's going home, he's going to stand before the Lord. He knows that we're talking about the Bema Seat of Christ, the place of rewards. So the Bema Seat, or the judgment seat of Christ, is only for believers, those who are born again. One day we're going to stand before the Lord, not for our sins to be judged. Romans 8:1, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Amen. Our sin debt has been paid in full by our Lord. Jesus on the cross said it is finished. But listen carefully. Timothy, Paul, every pastor, every believer, and every generation, we will all stand before God, before our Lord Jesus, and give an account of our lives. Let me give you the scriptures. Romans 14:12, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Again, the Bema Seat, the place of rewards. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." Each individually. Let me give you another one. Ecclesiastes 12:14. "For God will bring every work into judgment." Is that a big job? Every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about the judgment seat of Christ, he writes in 2 Corinthians 5:10, he says, "For we must," that word means it is certain, there's no escape, "we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Again, the Bema Seat of Christ. Jesus is the judge. He says that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it is good or bad. Each person. Whenever the Bema Seat of Christ happens, we're not going to be judged in mass. In other words, all of us together. Like, it's individual judgment. Think about that. We're all going to stand and give an account. But the judgment, it's about what we've done for the Lord. It's our works. And thank God our works do not determine our final destination. Amen? Because we are saved not by works, are we? No, we're saved by grace. However, we will be judged at the Bema Seat of Christ, the place of rewards, by our works, our stewardship. In other words, every one of you have a gifting, and it's a supernatural gifting that God has placed in you, a gift from God. Are you using it? Are you serving the Lord? Are you good stewards in your marriage and all the rest of it? See, we're all going to give an account of our lives to God. And that's why Paul did this to Timothy. He says, "Timothy, listen, Jesus is the judge, man. You know that. I know that. He's not only the judge of the living, he's the judge of the dead." That's the great white throne judgment. Aren't you glad we're not going to be there? Amen? At the great white throne judgment, what does it say? It says that Hades and the sea, all of them gave up the dead, and they're standing there at the great white throne judgment. It says, and there's no jury. There's no appeal. There's absolutely, there's no witnesses, just Jesus. And it says in the, this is the last judgment, by the way. And it says the books, plural, are going to be opened. And then there's going to be the book of life. And those who are not found written in the book of life, well, you know what happens. They're not saved. Oh, what a horrible day. Listen, it says the dead, the judge of the dead, meaning those that are outside of Christ. Again, the great white throne judgment, only for unbelievers. And that happens at the conclusion of the thousand-year reign of Jesus when he comes back at the second coming. And so that would be, you can read it later, Revelation chapter 20, I believe it begins in verse 11, and you can find that. Now, with all that being said, every person that has ever lived, are they going to be resurrected and stand before the Lord? Yes, they are. Man, listen, death is not the end. If there's another judgment, though, Matthew's gospel, the 25th chapter, talks about the sheep and goat judgment at the second coming of Christ, when he comes and he separates the Gentile nations and from the sheep and the goats, the ones who can go into and enjoy the millennial reign of Christ. But here's what I want you to see something. All the judgments of God, the Bema Seat, the Great White Throne Judgment, the Sheep and Goat Judgment, they all have to do with our works. Our works. All the judgments have that. So what does that mean? It means what we do on this planet is very important. Amen? Because we're all going to give an account. Now, look at it again. It says, I charge you, therefore, before or in the sight of God, in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're here we are, we're laboring in his presence, Timothy and us as well, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing or in light of his coming and his kingdom. Now, that's the second coming. The church, we're not going to go through the great tribulation period. Amen? We're going to be raptured. We're going to be removed. So it says there that Jesus is not only the judge. Jesus is the one who is on the way. He's the coming one at his appearing. And that word in Greek there, appearing, is epiphaneia, which means literally a shining or a burst of light, if you will. I want you to drop down to verse 8 about his appearing and look at this. Paul says, finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, but not only to me only, but also to all who have loved his, and there's that word, his appearing. Now listen, those who receive the crown are defined by one word, love. Are you loving? Are you ready for the Lord to appear? Are you ready for him to come and take us home? Listen, if he came today, would it disappoint you? Would you say, oh gosh, I'm 16, I've never driven a car? Well, you don't know, you'd be surprised how many Maseratis are in heaven. No, I'm just joking. But no, do you understand? This world, loved one, oh listen, man, this world, Jesus is coming. And we are his citizens, and this world is passing away, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. And we, like Timothy, we must work for the Lord and labor for the Lord until he comes. Jesus said in John 9:4, he says, the night is coming when no man can work. So while we still have the light, we need to be working. We need to beware in the 21st century, especially in the church today. Loved one, listen, I say this to you lovingly. Beware of do-nothing Christianity. Beware of it, because let me tell you why. Number one, it's not from the Holy Spirit of God. And number two, you won't find that in Scripture. Do you understand? We are following the Lord. We are laborers for the Lord. We belong to him. So what must Timothy do in light of all this? What must we do? Let's look at verse 2. He tells Timothy, he says, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. What is Paul doing? Paul knows that his departure is at hand. And he's passing now the torch on to the son of his faith. He says, Timothy, here's the baton. You're going to have to walk in my shoes and you're going to have to preach the word. The word preach there simply means to herald or proclaim publicly. And it means the good news, the gospel of Christ. It means the entire word of God. Listen, to preach the word means that we take the word and we communicate the truth of his word to others. Amen? And that's what I hope I'm doing this morning. See, this here in verse 2 is the first of those 9 imperatives that we're going to find in these 5 verses. So Timothy, preach the word. And I'm sure Timothy was going, you know, Paul, that's why you're in prison. You know, that's why you're in prison chained to a guard right now. But you remember what Paul told Timothy over in chapter 2, verse, I think it's 9? He says, Timothy, the word of God is not chained. The word of God is not bound. The word of God is alive. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:11 that when God sends forth his word, it will not return unto him void, but it accomplishes the purposes for which it is sent. Yeah. Listen, God's word, it is alive. However, there are pulpits in our nation today. They've chained the word of God. They've chained certain scriptures or certain parts of the Bible. I mean, it's chained. It's like it has cobwebs on it. They don't teach it. They don't preach it. And they should. Amen. No, it's vital, loved one. And why would the pulpit ever want to water down God's word? Man, Jesus said, you should know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It'll not put you in bondage. It'll set you free, man. I need the truth. John 8:32 is my life scripture. Right there on that beach in Florida. He said, man, you look like you're looking for the truth. And I said, I am. The hippie on the beach. And I said, I am. He says, give me your hand. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I asked Christ to come into my heart, and he set me free. Amen. Listen, the word of God is alive. It's living. And so here we look at this, and what must Timothy do to preach the word? The same thing that you have to do, the same thing I have to do. We already learned it in 2 Timothy 2:15, where he writes and he says, listen, be diligent. In other words, make every effort to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know how, what would make a person ashamed? It would be to wrongly divide the word of God, to not handle the word of God accurately. Listen, if you're going to handle the word of God accurately, where you're not going to be ashamed, you need to study the word of God. You need to apply the word of God. You need to divide it out accurately, amen? And that means it takes effort and it takes time and it takes spiritual sweat, if you will. And you're required to do that, not just the pastor, all of us together, amen? Now, but it says, preach the word. What does that mean? I love this part. It means to preach the Bible in its entirety. In all the Bible. The word of God. It doesn't say preach part of the word of God or just my pet doctrines. It says preach all of the word of God. The entirety. In other words, you can put it this way. The pulpit and Christians, we should always teach, we should always preach what makes man complete and equipped. We learned that the last time I was here in 3:16-17 about the word of God. It's God breathed. Only the word of God is going to equip us. You don't have the word of God, you're not equipped. Amen? No. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 4:4? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, the basis of all transformation, after you are born from above, 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes desire the pure or the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You cannot grow without the word of God. Romans 12:2, what did Paul write? He says, and be renewed in your mind. That's the basis of all transformation, as we are renewed in our minds, and you do that with the word of the living God. Actually, I like Ephesians 4:23. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind. That spirit of your mind is the part that we lost because of the fall. Does that make sense? Now we get the word of God back in, and our mind spiritually is renewed again. We need the word of God, love, and we need it desperately. So he says, preach the word of God. Every church should preach the word of God. 3 of you agree, all right? That word means you preach all of it, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept. Paul doesn't say in here, he says, Timothy, I want you to preach your word. Timothy, you don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to say apart from God's word. He doesn't say, preach your word. He doesn't even say, I want you to preach about the word. He doesn't say that at all. He doesn't even say, I want you, go ahead and just select one scripture and build a doctrine on it. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say just select one scripture and build a sermon around it, which you can certainly do that. And it's not always wrong, okay? But he said, no, Timothy, your calling, every pastor's calling, is to declare to God's people the whole counsel of the living God. And you know what? That is the only way that Christians can learn to face the difficult truths that is found in God's Word. Listen, God's Word doesn't always make me comfortable. There are things in there that I still don't understand. Are you with me? Come on. You think I have it down? No. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm still praying. I'm still asking questions about things, just like you do. But I believe what God says no matter how I feel. Amen? Because we walk by faith, not by what we feel or what we see. No, we don't do that. So, man, listen, you know, to learn the Bible, I mean, if we just pick and choose things in the pulpit, if I just pick this sermon and that, I mean, if I just lift a sermon out of, say, Timothy, do you learn what Timothy's about? No. Do you learn why it was written? No. Do you learn where it was written? Maybe. Do you understand what I mean? Listen, Timothy is a letter, an epistle that is inspired by the living God. And we need to know why it was written, who wrote it, and what was the purpose behind it, and how we can take that and apply it to our life. Amen. You know, John 3:16 is one of the glorious scriptures in the Bible. Jesus spoke it to someone at night. But most people don't even know who he spoke it to because they don't study the Bible. Do you know what I mean? The Word of God is so important. And I can tell you this. I remember years ago, I mean, I don't know, 40 some odd years ago, whenever my wife and I, when we sat under for the first time, I'd been listening to Pastor Chuck on the radio, and we were starting to attend Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas. I remember when we first heard line-by-line teaching, we looked at each other like, what is this? It was like, are you kidding me? And I was going, in other words, it was alive. I was understanding it. Does that make sense? See, whenever you are taught, that's why I'm a Calvary Chapel pastor, by the way, is because of that. That's one of the reasons, is because we go through the Word of God. We don't neglect the Word of God. We give you the whole counsel of God, even the parts that you don't like. I don't want to hear Leviticus. I know people don't show up, you know, but you teach Revelation. Everybody's here. That's when we take up offerings 3 or 4 times. No, I'm teasing. But the fact of the matter is that it's so, so important. So when a person who has never sat under the line by line, going through the Bible, understanding it, why did Paul write it or whoever was the writer, why? What does it really mean? It comes alive. And that so if then when they return maybe and they go under topical teaching, and not all topical teaching is bad, it's needed, but not it doesn't take the place of the entirety of God's Word. All of a sudden they go, well, I'm not getting the meat anymore. I don't need milk. You know, after a while you have to have solid food to grow. And when you get into line by line teaching, you are forced to learn what this book really means. And on line by line teaching, what happens is that when you sit underneath it, you're not satisfied. Do you understand? You're no longer satisfied because there's something that happens when you finally start understanding. You read Timothy, like 2 Timothy, go, I know. I've got it down. I understand what's going on. I see Paul. I've got the image of him. I see Nero. I see the Mamertine prison. I know what it was like. Are you following me? I see the whole way up in the ceiling where that one light's coming down. See, it becomes alive. Because this is a real book. You know, Nero is there, all the rest of them, as we'll see next Sunday. And we look at that and say, that's how we grow. So how do we teach? How do we teach the Word of God and preach it? Look at it in verse 2 again. It says, preach that word, communicate the whole truth of God's Scripture. And here it is, Timothy, and this goes for us today. Be ready, in season, out of season. What does that mean? Well, the word literally speaks of urgency.
Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. May you meditate on Paul's solemn charge to Timothy today. It's a powerful call to action and application for believers today. Amen? God bless, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.